is Four State Focus. News Radio 930 WFMD talks to newsmakers throughout Frederick and surrounding counties.
And welcome into the show. I am your host, Ryan Hedrick, and today we bring you a business leader and politician who's one of the three commissioners, the Franklin County, Pennsylvania commissioners. His name is John Flannery. You may have been to his restaurant, the John Allison Public House in Greencastle. It is a great place to eat and be seen. John, thank you so much for making time and taking time for us today.
Ryan, it's absolutely my privilege to do so. I miss you.
I miss you too, man.
Wish you were still around.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I'm always around. I live right around the corner from your restaurant. We stop by frequently, but you're a tough guy.
I know you're around. I just don't have time anymore.
I know. You're a tough guy to get in touch with. You're always in meetings. And let's start right there. You are now entering your third year as the Franklin County, Pennsylvania Commissioner. You were an unlikely choice to succeed a guy that had been in office for 20 years. So how is it coming in your third year?
It's going very well. I think, the first year, Ryan, was 2020. I started in January of 2020, which, of course, we all know was the pandemic year. So it was very difficult to learn my responsibilities and duties as a commissioner that first year, but we made it through there. My second year, I made more progress, I should say, because, you know, our county, primarily what we do is we deal with human services. And when you're unable to meet in person and learn the responsibilities of those you oversee, it makes it very difficult to kind of legislate and control their budget. So I think that I made a lot of ground. My relationship with the other two commissioners has grown, so to speak, that we now have a working relationship, and we're moving forward very well together at this point.
That is fantastic, because I know the first year was really, there's a lot of controversy because you were the top vote getter. You were supposed to, by default, traditionally, been voted as the chair, but you weren't. That went to Dave Keller. How difficult, I guess, was that to get over? Did you feel animosity toward the duo once you weren't voted chair?
Well, somewhat I did. However, again, these two gentlemen that I serve beside have been together, I think, 16 years now. So the bottom line, Ryan, is we each have one vote. Regardless of who's the chairman and who controls our meetings, my vote counts just as much as their vote counts. So in that aspect, it really bears no impact on my position as county commissioner. Quite possibly, I agree to serve no more than two terms because I do have a life outside of that life that I need to get back to. But, I think with that commitment that I made to serve no more than two terms, that may be their decision may be reflected on my second term, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a very interesting story to tell, and we're going to tell it as a business owner. You had a very unique, you were on the front lines of a decision by Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf that really rendered small business owners helpless and without any money coming in. We'll tell that story in a moment. What are your residents in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, concerned about? What's your biggest pressing issue right now that you're legislating on?
I think the biggest issue for us, and again, keep in mind that we don't really legislate law. We deal with primarily controlling a $150 million annual budget. So everything that I deal with comes down to how we spend that $150 million. And I can tell you, in going on my third year, that we have not had a tax increase, nor will I support one. If we have to increase taxes, then we are obviously overspending with that kind of budget. So the biggest challenge or the biggest concern, I think, of our residents here in Franklin County as they watch school boards continuously vote to increase property taxes is that the county continues to not raise property taxes and add on to that annual bill.
How did small businesses fare, John, during the pandemic? Do you have any numbers on how many businesses closed? And if not, can you just give us a kind of a snapshot of what the county looks like before and after the pandemic?
Well, I think before the pandemic, economically, Franklin County was strong. And Franklin County is, even to this day, we're still strong and growing at a rapid pace. I guess we contribute that a lot to the 81 corridor that we sit on. But regardless, we were very, very strong. Our growth rate was incredible. The pandemic hit, and our illustrious governor, Tom Wolf, decided that it was within his power, unconstitutionally, to shut down businesses. Those that did not survive, Ryan, I do not have the exact count. But there were those casualties. I would say we had, at least a couple handfuls of businesses that did not survive the pandemic. We were very fortunate that we did survive the pandemic. But you really, as a business owner, had to think outside the box and do things that you would not normally do, obviously, to make it when somebody says you're not able to run your business anymore.
Yeah, and you made a good point that, Franklin County is well positioned on 81. There are distribution centers going up all over. There's hotels, there's restaurants. And in that case, has it made the recovery better? I mean, I see now hiring signs going up all over the place, John.
Well, that's a twofold answer. The recovery is phenomenal. But we have a tremendous, as we do in the nation, a tremendous labor shortage. That's heightened in Franklin County because of the extreme growth that we're experiencing. So, again, it's great to have a recovery. And I can say that as far as the business aspect goes, our restaurant had a record year in 2021. And we contribute that success to our local demographic that we're in, and their ability to and willingness to support us during that pandemic. But, what it looks like after the pandemic is that businesses are cutting hours because they can't staff. The labor shortage is just, it's horrendous right now in Franklin County.
Yeah, it has caused you on multiple occasions, and you put this on Facebook and just got an outpouring of support and love for John Allison Public House, but you have had to close multiple times and adjust your hours due to not lack of customer base, but lack of staffing support.
Yes, that's correct. And in the hospitality industry, you set a standard for your level of service. And when you hit that point, and trust me, Ryan, I hate to ever close a business. You know, when you bring your business into a community, you make a commitment to be there for them. And when you have to close your doors, as we did, it just breaks my heart because at that point, we're not there for them. However, with that being said, I look at it that if we cannot offer that same standard of service that they expect or that we expect of ourselves, then we have to make some changes. And we can't open and lack in that aspect of the business.
John Flannery, Franklin County Commissioner, joining the 4-State Focus Show. We're talking about politics and community and business. And John was on the front lines. I'm telling you, I had a front row seat to watch this man operate a business. When the governor, the aforementioned Tom Wolf, you said it best. This guy said all non-life-sustaining businesses closed.
Except his family businesses.
Except Wolf's Cabinetry in York, I guess, is the name of the business. But, take us through those dark, dark days, John.
Well, I can take you back to when it actually transpired, and that would have been the day before St. Patrick's Day. And, again, my last name being Flannery from Irish descent, that is a very big and celebrated day at our establishment. So when I think this was done purposely, that the governor decided on March 16th that as of tomorrow, which would have been St. Patrick's Day, you will be closed. Again, I think it was done purposely. That affected us. You think about one of our biggest days of the year, the inventory that we have to bring in to support that, the labor that we have to put together that day. And I'm going to have to tell most of those people that they no longer have a job for the foreseeable future until this governor says that we can operate again. So it's heartbreaking to think that one person can make a decision for a population that, as Americans, I thought, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought we had the ability and the right to make our decisions, which means to me, Ryan, that, you know, the government's job should be to inform us of the risks that are out there. If there's a pandemic they're aware of, we should be educated by our government that that is a hazard and that we need to act accordingly as individuals using our own minds, our God-given ability to do so, not for someone to dictate to us what we have to do. If you are scared or you be around these types of hazards, then stay home, stay safe, don't go out. But that's our God-given right. That's our American right, I should say, to be able to make those decisions ourselves, and we always have. This is unprecedented in times that I've never seen anything like this before. So you affect the livelihood. One person affects the livelihood of 40 people that I employ. You know, fortunately, we were able to keep our management on staff. We did carry out orders. We were able to generate probably about 40% of our previous sales when we were open, which is a phenomenal number. And again, that you know, I attribute that to an incredible community that has supported me, has supported my business, and you know, we're there for them. And in our time of need, God bless them, they were there for us.
Franklin County Commissioner John Flannery joining the four-state focus show, and we focus on the four states. Now, we've expanded it to the original Frederick focus show because there are so many stories out there. John is a local kid. You grew up in Hagerstown, Maryland, right, John?
I did. Washington County. So yes, I did.
Your thoughts about the dynamic of there's such a high gas tax in Pennsylvania. We're constantly losing revenue, I believe, with people driving over the line. I'm one of them. I got to admit, I'd rather pay 30 cents cheaper for a gallon of gas at a Phillips station in Hagerstown than I would in Greencastle. What other economic challenges are there in Pennsylvania, as you see it, as both a business owner and a resident?
That's a tough question. You know, generally what I've heard, Ryan, is that if you look at tax for tax, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Pennsylvania is the second highest gas tax in the nation.
Yes.
I forget who's number one. I probably guess California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
California. So, yeah, we're top three anyway.
Yes.
But, you know, I've heard if you do a comparison that there are other higher taxes in other states and counties that make up for our gas tax, which I think's hogwash. I don't believe that a bit. I can tell you our property taxes haven't gone down any in Pennsylvania, in the recent past few years. As you know, I just built a new house, and I can tell you the taxes are enormous. Through the roof.
Yeah, enormous. Yeah.
But you know, and that's the difference. You know, when you look at taxes, and I think I'm not quite sure, you know, how it's been 25, 30 years since I lived in Maryland. But, you know, in Pennsylvania, all of our property taxes are based off of one thing. That's the school tax. So, you know, as a county commissioner, I look at this all the time. You know, our school boards are raising taxes left and right in every municipality here in Franklin County. They have to sustain the mandates that come down from the state. So, you know, again, as county commissioner, my job is to keep our county taxes in check, in which they are. They haven't been raised, and God forbid, as long as I'm in office, they won't be raised. But with that being said, you know, in Pennsylvania, that's our biggest challenge right now is our property taxes. In addition to our high gas taxes, it is not becoming a very nice place or sought after place to retire. That's for sure.
can one person change that? And the reason I ask is because you have a lame duck governor in Tom Wolf, and there will be a new governor at the end of this year in 2022, and we have many candidates who have thrown their hat in the ring, including Doug Mastriano, who appears sometimes on this radio station. Can anybody change the fate of the high taxes? Is there any relief? Is there any hope for residents who want to stay in Pennsylvania but may be forced out?
I think the answer to your question is yes. I think what it comes down to, and people have to understand, what is the role of government? And once we as a population, as a resident of the state, decide that as a group, then those changes can be made. What is it that you want your government to offer or provide for you? Those are the questions that people need to ask themselves. If you don't want to pay high taxes, then don't expect a lot coming from the government in return. It's really that simple. Most of us on the conservative side of the fence believe less government is a much better thing. I believe in people. I think people do great things. And I think it's government's responsibility to leave us alone and let us continue to do great things. So someone like Senator Mastriano, who shares my same sentiments, he could have a huge influence with that. With a legislature that is primarily conservative, yes, the answer is yes, we can make an impact on that. So I am very optimistic that we are moving in that direction. As you know, public opinion shifts from election to election. I think that we're moving back to that side. So I am very optimistic that one person can make a difference. And I really hope that person is Senator Mastriano.
Do you think that the COVID pandemic is here to stay? I mean, every day is a new mandate. Every day is a new, you know, booster requirement around the country. Every day is more political division between how many boosters we should have, who should be masked up, should kids go back to school. I mean, you'd think that we would have been out of this last year, but there's a poll out today, John, that says that most Americans feel like this pandemic is a perpetual thing. So as a business owner, discount the fact you're in a political office, as a business owner, is there anything that you can tell us that may lead us to believe that this thing will ever end?
Wow. Ryan, you've known me for a while now, and you know I'm an extremely optimistic person. Mm-hmm. With that being said, and people don't like this comparison, but I'm going to do it anyway. I personally compare the virus, the COVID virus, to the flu. You know, we have a flu that people get shots for every year. They get sick. People die from a bad case of the flu when they get a respiratory infection because they have a compromised immune system, possibly pre-existing conditions. COVID has done the same thing, and in some instances worse. So in my opinion, I look at it like a bad version of the flu virus. With that being said, I think that it is here to stay. How long has it been since we've found a cure for the flu? It's never happened. It's probably never going to happen. I hope to God it does. And I feel the same way about the coronavirus. So we as individuals have to decide what risk we want to put ourselves in. If you want to wear a mask to protect yourself, I have no problem with that. If you are that fearful to be out in public, then don't go out in public. But we have to be very careful that we don't legislate and tell others what they have to do. We need to make those decisions for ourselves and take care of ourselves.
Franklin County Commissioner John Flannery joining the Frederick Focus Show right here on WFMD and WFRE. And every week we have a new guest to tell their story. John has not told the story because I have not asked him to, but one of the hardest working men I know, John, you did not fall out of bed. You were not successful immediately. You had to work your tail off to get to where you are now as a restaurant owner and Franklin County Commissioner, serving a big county, a growing county. What is your story? How hard did you have to work? What do people not know about John Flannery that you want them to know in terms of your work ethic and how you got here?
Wow. So how long's the show?
Well, we have about five more minutes.
Well, let me tell you, Ryan, I'm not unlike anyone else. Anybody in this country can do whatever they want to do. You know, you say I'm a hard worker. I'm one of the hardest working people, you know. I don't see things that way. You know, we've got one life, man. We've got one shot at this. Why not do whatever you can? Why not make the best of it? Why not look back and say, man, on your deathbed, I did everything I could. You know, I had fun. I worked my rear end off, and I did what I could. You know, just a quick, you know, I'll give you a quick take on my story. You know, I just have the opinion that anyone can do anything they want to do, but man, you got to work for it. You got to get out there. You got to bust your butt. Get off the couch. Get off that phone. Get out there and do something. You know, I worked in a print shop when I was got out of high school. I worked some construction. You know, I bounced around for those few first years. I went to college part-time while I worked during the day, worked construction, and ended up landing a couple years after graduation in a print shop that, you know, I started off making $3.50 an hour 30 years ago. This was, I guess we're going back to probably 89, 89, 90, right in there. And, you know, I just remember running, you know, working myself up to running a printing press, and you know, it was great. I was up to $5 an hour and still living in my mom's basement. You know, those stories, everybody makes fun of us guys when we're 20 years old living in mom's basement.
Right.
But, you know, Ryan, I remember one night, you know, working second shift overnight. We worked five in the evening to five in the morning, looking around, seeing a bunch of guys half asleep, running presses. Most of them just, you know, went out and smoked weed out in the parking lot on their break. And, you know, I looked around and said, man, this isn't me. I'm better than this. I don't want to be this. Mm. You know, I made a decision at that point in my life, a 20-year-old kid. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I have to do to be the guy in here. Whenever my supervisor needs something, wants something done, I'm going to be that guy that he knows he can depend on to get it done. And I'm the only one that I'll do it better, and I'll do it quicker, and I'm going to work my rear end off to get that reputation. And just, you know, to make a long story short, that's what I did. And I worked for the company for 18 years and worked my way up to, you know, when I finally got the opportunity to be a second shift supervisor, I took it and I said, you know what? My job is to make second shift more productive than first shift. And I did that. You know, I at that point they said, man, we got to get this Flannery guy on first shift. We got to get, you know, he's got to manage our supervisors. They got to be able to do what he was doing with his shift. And after 18 years, I left there as a vice president of manufacturing of a printing company with about 400 employees. And, you know, I realized, Ryan, that, you know, I told my wife, I came home from work one day and I said, you know, I'm working 80 hours a week. You know, I'm here at night. I'm here. The alarm goes off. I'm here at 3 a.m. I got to be in here at 6:00, get my supervisors going. I mean, you know, it's just my name's never going to be on the door here. I love the opportunity they gave me. I love the fact that my income's grown so much and that, you know, they put me in a position that I can flex my you know, intellect as well as my physical ability. But at this point, let's do something. Let's do something we can put our name on the door. And we ended up mortgaging our house and buying a little building in Mercersburg, Pennsylvania, and opening a restaurant. You know, I can't tell you how many people in that community told me, oh, you're in Mercersburg, you'll never make it here. You'll never make it. Well, I sold the restaurant 15 years later for three times what I bought it for. you know, and we were able to buy a house in the Outer Banks with that, with the funds that we were able to generate from that sale. But anyway, halfway through owning that restaurant, we were approached and we decided to open a second restaurant in Greencastle, which you spoke so kindly about, and you actually visit it quite often, which I appreciate greatly.
I am a frequent diner. Yes.
Yeah. So you know, we had the two restaurants running, and I think, you know, Ryan, the other advice I would give anyone is always surround yourself with great people. Mm. And I tell people, if they look in the mirror, think about your five closest friends. That's who you are. So surround yourself with really good people. I always wanted to be around people smarter than I was. And I always tried to hire my managers at that level To help me run the business, and to not make it that I had to work in my business, but I could work on my business. So, you know, we were very successful with the second restaurant. We owned them both for about 7 years. And, you know, I told my wife, I said, it's time I give back. I want to do something. I want to make a difference in this community. I want to run for political office. I think I want to run for county commissioner.
And, John,
and again, as people did in Mercersburg and as people did in Greencastle when I tried to open that restaurant, as people did when I said I wanted to run for county commissioner, they said, these guys have been here 16 years, these three commissioners, you'll never make it. You'll never get elected.
And you did. So, and that's where we're going to stop because we're out of time. You killed it. I love you, man. You're a great friend.
I love you too, brother.
Yeah, brother, you did a great job today. John Flannery, go visit his restaurant in Greencastle, John Allison's Public House. You've been listening to the 4-State Focus show here on WFMD and WFRE. Have a great weekend.
4-State Focus has been a public service of News Radio 930 WFMD. Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.
This is 930 WFMD and WFMD.com. Now, WFMD News.
The local COVID-19 statistics are trending downward, and that could mean the end of Frederick County's mask mandate. That's according to County Executive Jan Gardner, who spoke at Thursday's Board of Health meeting. The board approved an indoor mask requirement in December when COVID-19 cases were increasing. But if the case rate dropped to 20 per 100,000 population, the mandate would end. Currently, the county's case rate is just under 39 per 100,000.
I do expect the mask requirement to lift itself. Some people had said that the metric we put in place was not achievable, but we've already seen other jurisdictions achieve it.
Gardner notes that some neighboring counties have dropped their mask mandates.
A number of people have said, why have we not done this when some other of our neighbors, particularly our metropolitan neighbors, have? Well, they've had lower case rates. In some instances, their hospital have already come off crisis standard of care.
The Board of Health consists of the county executive and county council and is chaired by Health Officer Dr. Barbara Bookmeyer. Montgomery County Police are mourning the death of one of their own. Authorities say on Friday morning, Officer Douglas Haggerty, who was off duty, was traveling eastbound on Spencerville Road near Good Luck Road, taking his 9-year-old daughter to school when he suffered a medical crisis. His car crashed. Police and fire and rescue personnel responded to the scene and performed life-saving measures on Officer Haggerty. He was taken to an area hospital where he was pronounced dead. His daughter was able to get out of the car and call 911 after the crash. She was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Officer Haggerty was 36 years old and had been with Montgomery County Police since July 2010. He was serving as an officer with the Rockville District when he died. I'm Kevin McManus on Mid-Maryland's Radio News Center, 930 WFMD.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. It's now cleanup time following this week's massive winter storm that stretched from Texas to New England.
In Dallas, they're hoping for warmer temperatures. In Chicago, plows are working overtime to clear side roads, while ice is plaguing roads outside of Philadelphia.
Ice is dangerous regardless if you have four-wheel drive or it's not snow, you're sliding either way.
In Providence, Rhode Island, plow drivers just want motorists out of the way.
There's a lot of people on the road still. Go home.
Fox's Jill Nato reporting. Protesters honked their horns in anger Friday night outside City Hall in Minneapolis. They're demanding that police face charges after the killing of a 22-year-old black man during the delivery of a no-knock warrant 2 days earlier. The mayor has placed a moratorium on such warrants. America is listening to Fox News.
WFMD Weather.
The 930 WFMD Skyscan forecast for Frederick and surrounding counties. As we head into the day, sunny with a high near 30 and northwest winds 14 to 21 miles per hour with gusts as high as 31 miles per hour. Saturday night, we'll have a low around 17 and northwest winds 5 to 8 miles per hour, becoming east around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Sunday, sunny with a high near 38 and southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. PJ's Roofing. When it comes to your roof, they've got you covered. Visit pjsroofing.com. I'm Dan Sutton.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me. You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking, and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
The talk of Mid-Maryland, 930 WFMD.
This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows with your host, Bob Dacey.
I'm Bob Dacey, and welcome to WFMD's Weekend Free Talk Express, where we revisit the best of the best talk shows on WFMD for the past week. So sit back, relax, let's take a listen to what we have in store for you on this week's show.
Well, welcome today to part one of this week's Weekend Free Talk Express, WFMD's weekly news magazine. We've got quite an interesting group of audio cuts for you today. We have Tim and Frank discussing the southern border problem and also talking about shoplifting being another major issue. We have the guys from Morning News Express talking about the issues on The View and the Joe Rogan Spotify scandal and what it's done for a couple of the women on that show. And we also have, from Mid-Maryland Live, Brad Young comes onto the air and announces a big surprise for all of us. So without further ado, let's get started on this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express. But I have been watching through some of the sites I do go to. What's going on at our southern border? And it amazes me. I'm stuttering here. It amazes me to see the face I get from my liberal friends or progressive friends when I say the border. It is though I'm talking about something that happened in the 1920s, and now I'm bringing it up, and I want, you know, retribution for this. No, no, no. You pay attention here. The southern border of the United States is not going to go away. The southern border of the United States is not going to be able to call it a border. The only thing would be like a line. It would be like a line down the middle of a road. You know, you can walk on both sides of it because there's nothing stopping you. But the southern border of the United States protects the citizens of the United States. So, well, then this is here, my progressive friends. Yeah, but that's down Texas down there in front of them funny talking places. No, 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 no. Wrong. No, 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 no. It affects you in Emmitsburg, Thurmont, Woodsboro, Walkersville, Newmarket, Urbana, Monrovia particularly. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the influx of, or the invasion of this country being perpetrated by the administration that we have in the White House right now. They're causing it. They should be charged criminally. They should be charged civilly. And impeachment should begin immediately. Now, you might think, oh, you're out of your mind. You've been listening to Donald Trump over the weekend. No, I didn't get to hear Donald Trump's Texas, whatever it was. I don't take time to listen to rhetoric. I don't need that. I have more things important to do. But I am aware, and it is severe. It is dangerous, and it's right here in our hometown. It is the invasion of America. Now, you may say, oh, well, you just don't like Hispanic people, you know, or the El Salvadorians or the Huskvarians or whoever they are coming from down there. No, no, I have nothing against people. I have a lot against people breaking the law. I have a lot against people that don't obey the law. I have a lot against people that ignore the law. What am I talking about? Well, you should see some of the countries that are sending people into our country illegally. By flying into Mexico, Mexico City, or some of the places close by, and then making their way to the southern border and walking straight on in. We're talking about people from China. Now, that would be fine if you think, oh, isn't it so wonderful that people in China, they want to be U.S. citizens so bad. Are you kidding me? Do you really believe that someone has the money to fly from China to Mexico to go across the border illegally, wants to be a U.S. citizen? No. I question their purpose. I question their coming in. Now, Donald Trump, when he was president and running for president, as the left continued to make fun of, he says, no, they're not just sending, they're not letting just, you know, doctors, lawyers, dentists, accountants, you know. No, they're not just letting those people walk through the border. We actually have thugs, criminals, people that can hurt us, people that will take away from our way of life. That's coming through the border, too. And right now, the reason I brought this up is because I was able to watch some videos of what the Border Patrol are going through and how their life as law enforcement agents for the United States government, how they are being destroyed physically and emotionally because we have an administration who does not care about the southern border. It is the open vow that I think if they're sitting in the White House, and it's too late for Joe to be there. He's napping with his sippy cup. No, I didn't say that. But they're saying the way they're saying maybe this makes the conservatives mad. Maybe it really ticks them off. That's it. That's the word. Ticks them off. It really does. So we're going to ignore it. We have a vice president, Kamala Harris, who was given the assignment, the job, if you will, to take care of the border crisis. It is a crisis, too. And if you might remember back during the election cycle and during the President Biden being talking about the border, it's not a crisis. They kept asking. It is a crisis. How many more people in the United States have to be murdered, have to be run over by drunk drivers, have to be stabbed, have to be sold into slavery, have to be picked off the ground because they're overdosing on drugs? How many more people in this country have to suffer because of our open borders? How many? I mean, maybe it, until it gets to a neighborhood near you, right? It's here. Now, you got a sheriff. You got, I know in the city, too, we have gangs. You know, gangs. This is like something, the gangs of New York. We got the gangs of Frederick County, Maryland. We got the gangs of Washington County, Maryland. The gangs of Loudoun County. It's here. It's here. I watched it over the weekend. How you know, it has become a way of life that criminals are now being held as heroes. California, New York City. Drugstores closing down. Not because of no business, but because of too much business. From criminals who come in and shop and take what they want and are not stopped because you don't have a prosecutor that's going to prosecute them. In California, it can take up to $950 each trip, by the way, each trip, each person, before there may be a prosecution. I don't know how you can stay in business if your inventory, so to speak, is walking out the door, that your inventory is being stolen from you and you're expected to stay there and take it. And even though you have security, the security seems to be able to be helpless because if they touch the person, pardon me, your pardon, well, you think I'm the governor? No. If you touch the person, you're apt to be in much more trouble than the person that's doing the crime. And it's not fair. Yes, but we have to take care of those because they need those. No, they don't. They're stealing and reselling peanut brains. How could you be whack biscuity on this? Don't you understand? I mean, you cannot be of the mindset that this is the way life should be. There's no other country that I know of, and I've been blessed and cursed sometimes. I've traveled so many countries, and I've yet to see people being rewarded for being criminals. For stealing, for taking something, you know. And I've been to countries where I would encourage people still to feed their families. And yet, United States, we're supporting criminals who go into a CVS, People's Drugstore, well, what's a year old, you're showing old, and they help themselves. You know, you go into the drugstores, even in our counties, Frederick, Washington, Howard, Montgomery, Carroll, stop it. It's hard to buy. Let me say this. I don't see what I buy. I can't say that on the radio. No, let's try razor blades. Now, razor blades seems to me should be a commodity that everybody buys and everybody, you know, uses if they shave, obviously. Gillette would be out of business if Frank Mitchell had anything to do with it. But I'm talking about other people, normal people. You cannot get razor blades of any quality in a chemist, not the chemist, you all call it the drugstore, not in the drugstore, without a security clearance. They have to come over with the key to unlock Gillette razor blades. I mean, I thought this is like, this has got to be a joke. I mean, this has to be funny. No, it's not funny. Do you know to get, this is a good one too, to get some toothpastes, how do you say that word? More than one toothpaste. Toothpastes. Okay. To get more than one toothpastes, you've got to get, Commander, you have the keys. I'd like to get a tube of toothpaste over here. Now, I have never known. I don't know if people use perfumes or colognes. I don't know if they use cologne. Frank, use cologne?
Huh?
Do you use cologne?
Huh?
Why you say that? You don't know what cologne is. You don't use it, do you?
I couldn't tell you if I don't know what it is.
Well, you probably call it cologne. It's pronounced cologne.
Oh, yeah, occasionally.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, anyhow, yeah, but that's back 30s. So anyhow, the drugstore has become a perfume emporium. But only if you know somebody's got the key so you can buy some. I'm starting to lose it. I'm really starting. You can go into a jewelry store and they have thousands of dollars of beautiful jewelry, and you got a person that'll help you with it. You know, you can pick it up and look at it and try it on. You know. You go into where I buy my clothes at the homeless shelter. No. And you might have an $800 suit. You can put it on, try it on. It's okay. $1,000 suit, whatever. You can buy a pair of shoes at the same clothing place, you know, cost a couple hundred bucks. How about this? I got one better. Talk to me. Frank wears sneakers. That's what I call them. And I'm apologizing for being a curmudgeon. I don't know what you call them, tennis shoes or sneakers. Patrick Mahomes calls them sneakers, so I'll call them sneakers. Even sneakers that are $500 and $600 a pair aren't behind glass. Now you might see some people running down through Frederick who have stolen some sneakers, but I guarantee you they're not the same color on each foot. Because see, I figured out what they do. They put out like the left foot of one kind of style and the left foot of another. So unless you only have one, that's not nice. But if you just left footed, you could hop down. Anyhow, I digress. I got into this because I'm concerned. I got into this message because I'm concerned, and I want to do something about it, but I'm being fought on all angles by this progressive nonsense that I must be more compassionate for the criminal.
COVID-19 vaccines save lives. They're free, safe, and no ID or insurance is required. Find a Frederick Health Vaccine Clinic event near you. Do it for you, for us, for Frederick. Follow us on social media or visit frederickhealth.org/vaccine.
Check it out, the updated WFMD app with the latest local news and weather, our podcasts and downloads, links, and it's even got a wake-up alarm. Best of all, we're on your phone from anywhere, at any time.
Everywhere I go.
The WFMD app. Download it for free at the Google Play Store or at WFMD.com.
A service of Frederick Air.
Ryan and Bob get to talking a little bit about the issue that blew up this week in The Face of the View, that lovely liberal television show, and how Joe Rogan on Spotify factored into all of that.
I don't know if you've already talked about this, Ryan, but I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
That the entire cast of The View is threatening. I'm only kidding. Yeah. If the if Joe Rogan isn't going to leave Spotify, which would be, you know, amazing, right? Mm-hmm. I would. But I know it's not going to happen. It was, you know, why I know it's not going to happen. The stories on, you have to realize where your stories are coming from. The Babylon Bee.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. So, but wouldn't that be great if they would?
Oh, it would be. I think they are polluting our television sets every time they come on. You know, the latest twist in this, Clay Travis talking yesterday on these airwaves about Joe Rogan. He said basically it would be the best thing ever if Joe Rogan just quit. Can you imagine what type of audience, what type of media outlet would want to actually offer Rogan a job? I mean, maybe Fox Nation. He can bring his massive audience with him. Clay Travis said yesterday that it would be good for him to quit, because right now what he's doing is groveling, begging for someone to distribute his content. It took me back when Joe Rogan said, kind of apologized to Spotify for what it's going through. I mean, they signed an exclusive content deal with him. And when they signed that $100 million deal in 2020, they told him they weren't going to try to control his content. But now they're putting advisory labels on the content every time he talks about COVID, basically insinuating that what he's talking about is not factual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if it's a podcast, it's an opinion piece.
Right.
And, you know, here's the great thing about, like, Spotify or anything else. You don't have to listen to it.
Right.
You know, what Joe Rogan is saying is news because people make it news. Mm-hmm. If he, you know, it's Joe Rogan, for goodness sakes. Wasn't he on the news radio? Isn't that where he got to start? Wasn't he, on TV?
I think he was actually a UFC fighter. That's what I think he started out as, and then a stand-up comedian. He did respond. I want to play a couple of cuts from yesterday. Rogan says people have a misunderstanding about his podcast. Here's the first cut.
Both these people are very highly credentialed, very intelligent, very accomplished people, and they have an opinion that's different from the mainstream narrative. I wanted to hear what their opinion is.
And Rogan says the problem with the term misinformation is this.
The problem I have with the term misinformation, especially today, is that many of the things that we thought of as misinformation just a short while ago are now accepted as fact.
And finally, Rogan talking about Neil Young pulling his music from Spotify. By the way, if you're Spotify, I don't think you mind that Neil Young and others are leaving, because it's actually costing Spotify to be on their platform. They pay royalties from their music. Here you go.
No hard feelings towards Neil Young, and definitely no hard feelings towards Joni Mitchell. I love her too. I love her music.
Mm. So he seemed almost apologetic that was happening. I mean, any doctor, Bob, that doesn't fit the narrative of here's what Dr. Fauci says and kind of co-sign Dr. Fauci's stuff is censored and canceled.
Yeah, no, but I was right. He was on the TV show News Radio back in 1995.
Oh, I thought you meant News Radio. No,
he was on a TV show called News Radio that had Dave Foley, Stephen Root, Andy Dick, and Joe Rogan, Candy. You know, there was other people on there. I can't remember them all, but yeah, he was on TV. Mm-hmm. That's where I first heard of Joe Rogan. He was on TV. Then I think he was also on some other things as well. But yes, and then he became the commentator for UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So yeah, but again, you listen and. It's just like I wrote yesterday on a meme. I saw it on a meme. I didn't write it. It's like, you know, isn't it amazing where somebody is trying to cancel free speech who sang songs about free speech?
Right, right.
I mean, it's just that's what's ridiculous about this, that people who scream from the rooftops about, oh, we have to have freedom of speech are the ones who are trying to cancel somebody because they have an opinion or they say something.
And again,
doesn't mean you have to believe it.
Yeah, Neil Young and Joni Mitchell aren't doctors. We aren't doctors either, but we've covered enough of this COVID pandemic to know I think we're out of the woods. I mean, I'm very comfortable saying that I believe we're out of the woods when it comes to COVID. It's going to be with us forever and ever and ever. I've spoke to countless people. How long have the vaccines been out now? For about a year?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so I've spoke to countless people who say that vaccines have ruined their immune systems and that they regret taking the vaccines. And again, I'm not saying get the vaccine either way. All I'm saying is this is not a one-size-fits-all virus. It never has been. From the start, we understand that COVID attacks people with weakened immune systems, and these people are acting like Joe Rogan is just straight up lying about the virus when he's not. They're just trying to censor. It's the cancel culture, and if we let these people get their way, our right to free speech is going to be ruined in this country.
Brad Young is a regular on our radio station, and he popped in with some surprise information for Mid-Maryland Live. And you'll want to hear that announcement coming up now. Say anything. All right. Is this Brad Young?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, Brad. I didn't say anything negative. I knew somebody was going to get to you and tell you I was jumping on you.
Yeah. No, I was listening.
Oh. In that case, I meant everything I said.
I heard it firsthand. I appreciate it.
Me too, Mr. Young.
Now, Brad,
I want to know where you stand on things, who your competition is.
Who cares?
Tim's trying to get me to do an endorsement, and he tends to, vote for who he likes.
And yeah, I do.
I vote for people who are good.
I voted for his dad, and. I
make what I think would be a better count.
I vehemently opposed everything your dad stood for in as far as the legislature. I love your dad, so I voted for him, but that's because I'm goofy. I'm not an informed voter. But, Brad, is it true that you will be seeking the council at large seat?
I will be filing for council at large, and I'll be filing my paperwork early next week.
Oh, beautiful. I'm happy for that.
They talked you into it.
Thank you for running. I don't know. I think
nobody really talked me into it. I mean, I had different people talk. This is a decision that I made with a lot of thought and contemplation and discussion with my wife and family.
You're doing right. She was in it. I knew that.
Absolutely. She has to be. She's been my partner for 40 years, and anything
that's why
that
she's
I
in
do,
therapy.
I definitely have to have her support.
Yeah. I think, first of all, I do respect you, Brad. We don't always agree. We know that.
Well.
But I use the word, and I don't know, this is like you might want to use this in your ads, and I shouldn't be talking this way. But I just feel comfortable when a person of your knowledge of the county is going to continue to serve. That's the piece that I have. It's you're not an interloper.
Often, I've been very blessed, and my family has been very blessed by Frederick County. I would not live anywhere else. I will be a lifer here in Frederick, and I just love the community so much and love to find ways to continue to serve. And if I am elected, I'll do that. If I'm not, I'll find ways to serve in other ways because I believe so much in Frederick County and what it's done for me and my family, and I owe it back, and I will give it back.
Well, I can say throughout your life, because I'm just about a year older than you, I can say that you've done it all your life. I mean, you and your whole family. And sometimes...
Well, I was raised that way.
Yeah, and sometimes to the detriment of your own family, believe it or not, as you know.
I don't feel that way. I was raised that way. Both my dad and mom believed heavily in giving back to the community. Dad did it through politics. Mom did it through her service as a principal and education. And, that's kind of what was
instilled in you.
Embedded in me is to always, when the community is good, give back to it. And I've tried to do that through coaching, through teaching, through mentoring, through volunteering, through service on 15 years on the board of FCC and now 12 years on the board of education. And so.
And 19 years at Mount St. Mary's, right? 19?
For 19 years at the Mount. See? I served on 7 years on the State Board of Community College Trustees, 7 years on the National Board, 7 years on the Academies at Shady Grove, and 12 years on the Academy of Finance at the Career and Technology Center, over 60 years of educational board service.
Well, I just have always been impressed with your heart that you're willing, that you're willing to serve, and that I don't know the outcome of the election. I'm sure you're running as a Democrat, and
I am filing as a Democrat.
I don't think the county council should be partisan. I really don't. I think it should be running everybody. Why put labels on people that they don't deserve?
I wish, Tim, you would say that about the Board of Education.
Well, the Board of Education is nonpartisan.
No, but you have said you think it's a big deal. What
it is a big deal because I think
party affiliation each person belongs to.
It's because the way that the Apple ballot comes out, it's they've never supported in my memory they've never supported someone who was of the Republican background, never. So I find that hideous. But anyhow, let's want to talk about the Board of Education now. So Brad, that means you will not be running, obviously, for another term on the board.
That is correct. I've served 12 years, and I think that is a good amount of time. As I said, I spent 15 years on the board of Frederick Community College. And one of my original mentors when I was a young man was Dr. Lee Betts, who was
a great guy,
distinguished person. And, you know, he had a saying that really rung to heart to me, and I think this is true of politicians, of leaders, that you can't have an impact on an organization unless you've been there at least 5 years. And if you've been there more than 15, you've probably had too much of an impact.
That about wraps it up for Weekend Free Talk Express. We hope you enjoyed some of the interviews brought back from this past week's broadcast on Free Talk WFMD. Join us again next time. Until then, I'm Bob Dacey.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.
Weekend Free Talk Express is a Connoisseur Media production.
News Radio 930. WFMD, Frederick.
A Connoisseur Media radio station.
8 o'clock.